Welcome back to episode 13, season 2 of the GPP. I am your host, as always, the Squad Father, giving you all the knowledge and practical takeaways to improve your own general physical preparedness. As I'm sure you noticed and was the low light of your week last week, I was on vacation. I was away. I was in the land of the Danes, the old Den of the Mark, Copen in the Hagen, soaking in some fresh Nordic air. So I feel recharged. I feel reinvigorated. I feel ready to attack this episode. And because we missed a week, I've got so much extra content for you guys that memes and things, usually it's like one or two items on there. I think today we've got 5 or 6 items on there. So really, really heavy in the section. That's always the best, memes and things. Lighter at the end of the episode in our Reddit questions, but that's what you have to look forward to. A lot of people have been asking me, how was Denmark? Was it everything you dreamed it would be? What did you learn while you were over there? Danish is a pretty tough language. There's lots of letters with slashes through them and dots over them, and I wasn't 100% sure how to pronounce any of those, and I was kind of worried. But most of the people over there speak English. So the first time we went out to dinner and we grabbed a menu, it was like a grab a menu, seat yourself kind of place. Grabbed our menu, sat down. The menu's in Danish. So Jimmy and I were sitting there trying to decipher. Oh, I think this means this. So we go up to order and we're like, I think we want this and this. And the lady's like, do you want an English menu? It's like, yeah. I think I probably would like an English menu. But at that point, we already knew what we were going to have. You know, steak sandwich means steak sandwich in Danish. So that's what I wanted. I got it. It was delicious. Charcuterie board. Charcuterie means charcuterie in Danish. That was good. But I did have some takeaways for you guys. A 1 through 5 takeaway from my time in the land of the Danes. The first takeaway is that it would be 100%, this is not a meme, not an exaggeration, 100% physically impossible for me to be obese if I lived over there. We averaged, I think, like 9 miles of walking and 10 miles of biking every day. And when you walk the streets, there's no overweight people. There's no obese people. Like, when I say no, I don't mean like, oh, there's very few of them. I mean that I saw 2 of them. 2 of them. Sounds like I'm speaking about some. I saw 2 people that I would consider to be overweight on the edge of obese. I didn't see any like America obese people. Like your American obese body type. Jake, pull up a picture. Show them what I mean. Show them a male and a female. Archetypical obese American. None of those. Not a single one over there. And I think it's because they would die. I think they would genuinely die having to walk that much and having to like bike over the hills. Like there's hills and bridges and stuff. They would die. They would pass away. So few overweight people, 0 obese people, somewhat of like a culture shock, but in the right direction of like, I was shocked to see that. But it does make sense. The second piece that I noticed was that you hear this all the time. So like I heard this all the time when I was in school. It was like American portion sizes when you go out to eat are crazy. They're super big. But when you've only ever been in America or you've been to like, you know, you've been out of America to like Mexico, to Puerto Rico, to the Dominican Republic, to the Bahamas. A lot of those cultures eat a little bit more food at their meals as well. So you don't really, it's like, oh, okay, that's not really true. But going over to Denmark showed me that American portion sizes are just absolutely absurd. The food that you get over there, the meal sizes are much smaller and it's a lot more paced out. So it's like multiple rounds of appetizers. So we went out to sushi. Sushi restaurant is usually like, order your stuff, all of it comes out at once. So we got like some appetizers, we got some sushi, some soup, some like skewers of meats, and it was like all paced out of like 15 minutes, and then 20 minutes later something else would come out, and then 20 minutes later. And it was like by the end of the meal, it was almost impossible to overeat because it was like so paced out, and you're not able to like do the typical American like pig at the trough kind of eating style of just put it in my face hole as fast as I possibly can. And also, Danish people, maybe it's just Nordic people in general. I've only seen Danish people now. So Danish people just hang out at their table and they talk forever. Like meals are super social. No one's on their phone. You've got people coming from like other tables like, oh, Frederick, I haven't seen you in forever, blah, blah, blah. And they're sitting down, they're talking. Then that person goes over to their table and is very refreshing, interesting, shocking. Different to see an environment like that. I guess, I mean, if I had to zoom out and say what I think, it's probably better to do it that way than anything. The third point was that babies sleep. This is kind of crazy to just write it and then say it. Babies, they sleep outside. So like nap time, if you're a baby, all babies have this like sleeping bag, wool, warm looking thing. And like, you're at the bakery, as long as it's not raining, because it does rain there a good amount. You're at the bakery, you brought your baby, it's your baby's nap time, you're inside having a croissant and an espresso, and just hanging out and talking with your friends. Maybe you're getting some work done. Your baby's just sitting outside. The baby just sits out there, like asleep, bassinet, stroller, whatever it is, just sits outside and sleeps. It's bonkers. It's crazy to see that. In America, a street rat would come along and steal your baby, and then you don't have a baby anymore. But babies sleep outside. Patio, we would walk by patios of apartments, babies outside. The bakery, the restaurant, the coffee shop, whatever, the baby's outside sleeping. Wild. Something about breathing in fresh air. It's probably a good idea. I would assume the lifespan. I didn't do any research. I told Jimmy to do some Google searching for me while we're over there, but I didn't do any research. I would assume lifespan is a lot longer over there. Less obesity, more time outside, fresh air, good stuff. But that was very interesting to me. The first time you walk by someone's apartment and there's just a baby alone sleeping out on the patio. Interesting. Number four is that people walk the streets at all hours of the night. So when Jimmy and I got there, we never really adapted to the time change. So it was like her and I are like 7:30, 8 p.m., knocked out on the couch, asleep kind of people. But when we were over there, because of the time difference, we were up until 10:30, 11, 12, 1 a.m. some nights. We would go out and just walk around and kind of just survey the land. Most places close over there pretty early. But people are just out on the streets walking around, and they're not trying to do any sketchy stuff. They're just walking around. So grocery store next to our apartment closed at close at 11. So we were in that like 10:45. We had a late dinner. I wanted to get some like Greek yogurt or something. Skier over there. That's some good stuff. But I wanted to pick up some yogurt. She wanted to pick up like a snack or something. We went over there and there's probably like a 32 to 35 year old man in a hoodie. Hood is up. He's walking behind me and I'm on like red alert. Obviously nothing happened. We walk into the grocery store. He's behind us. He veers off to the right. He's getting candy. This is like a 35-year-old man at 10:45 at night leaving his apartment to go get some gummy candy. Like, what is even going on in America? That guy's just going out there to rob you and murder you and do horrible things to you. That guy was just going to get candy. And it's like, we went to a place called Pusher Street where illicit activities happen. It's a community that's self-police. The police don't go there. You're not allowed to take pictures. You're not allowed to share anything about it. And it's pretty kind of like tucked back, so it's pretty hard to find. And they're selling things to people that give them an effect. If you catch my drift here. So you walk in and it's like, there are people that you would genuinely consider or generally consider sketchy, like lining the streets, selling their wares to you openly. But normally, that's an environment where you kind of have to be on alert. You kind of have to be on your toes. Some weird stuff can happen. Make sure your wallet's still in your pocket, yada, yada. over there, there's 2 14-year-old kids over there just hanging out. They're not doing anything. They're just hanging out. That's a mom and dad over there. That's a 71-year-old lady. That's a 42-year-old woman who looks like she just got off work and she has her tiny little dog in her hands. Wild. Absolutely wild what people walk the streets doing and how all of it is just like good intent, not dangerous. Seemingly, maybe this is my own ignorance, but seemingly not dangerous whatsoever. The last piece over there, bringing it back around to what this podcast is all about, the fitness side of things. We trained at CrossFit Butcher's Lab, one of the best CrossFit gyms that I have ever been to, by far, bar none, easily top two, top three, maybe even the best one that I've ever trained at. I was able to do the open workout 24.1, surrounded by some of the best athletes that I've ever seen in my entire life, head to head with, you know, not head to head, but alongside some of their games athletes, their team games, or their games team. Really, really competitive stuff. And it was so refreshing to see, because everyone there was competing with each other, truly wanted to beat everyone else, wanted to finish with the fastest score, but never stopped or never shied away from cheering on other people. You know, when it was going on, it was during open gym hours, so that's when a lot of their competitors go. I mean, there's like bleachers on the side lined with their athletes, all just cheering each other on. They're going out there 3x3, 2x2, and they're there for 3-4 hours at a time just to cheer each other on. Really cool stuff. Really refreshing to see that around the open in a time and an age where people are hiding their scores and they don't want to do the workout head to head with other people at their gym because, you know, they want to win. They want to get that. It's so against what the community is supposed to be. So to see a gym where the community is highlighted like that, Butcher's Lab, amazing. If I find myself in Denmark ever again, if I move there, I would like to do that. That'll definitely be my home base when it comes to training. So overall, 10 out of 10 experience, 100% get your butt over to Denmark. I recommend Copenhagen, as that's where we were. I've heard that other cities are just as beautiful. I've heard Belgium is great. All the Nordic countries are all, you know, really quality stuff over there. So happy to have gone there, happy to experience that, and happy to possibly be relocating, taking my talents to the Nordic countries. Up next is Japan. So if you have any Japan tips for me, drop those below. Let's actually get into the episode, though. That's my Denmark recap. That's why I missed last week. A couple extra minutes on the front end of the show. Learn a little bit about Denmark and get a positive. I'm not sponsored. There's no discount code for going to Denmark. It's just a genuine review there. But into today's episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Gifted Academics. Gifted Academics is your one-stop shop for professional and career advancement via our accelerated certification prep courses. That's sports nutrition, strength and conditioning, certified personal training. If you need to get certified in any of those areas, we are the place to go. Remember that other podcasts are shouting out stupid stuff like beef jerky and greens powders. For us, we are sponsored by and shouting out services that can genuinely, easily, and very tangibly put more money in your pocket by advancing your careers and increasing the value that you deliver to your clients. Or if you just want to break into coaching as a whole, maybe you want to explore some personal training for your friends and your family, make the world a better, a healthier, and a fitter place. Gifted Academics is the place to start. Jake also redid the website. So Jake, if you just want to drop the link in the show notes so that everyone can see how good everything looks over there, they'll be so enticed. They'll sign up for a prep package immediately. We have some new payment options to look at on there as well. As always, rate and review, comment, you know, anything that boosts us up in the algorithm, gets this out to more people. Absolutely do that for us. We will love you forever. So that's rate, review, notification bell, subscribe, send it to a friend, send it to your dog, watch this on multiple screens at once. We need those views. We need those comments. We need the little tickle tickle, the juice juice that the algorithm so desperately craves. Algorithm, don't be so desperate, baby. We love you no matter what. You don't have to always ask for our attention and, you know, neg us by putting us down when we don't give you the attention that you desire. You're beautiful, baby. We love you. And then, of course, gifted-hq.com has all of your one-on-one coaching needs, templates, ebooks, cookbooks, sick ass apparel. I'm past the 10 minute mark, so I can say whatever the fuck I want now, Jake. But go on over to gifted-hq.com, get fit as shit and sexy as fuck. You will not regret it. All right, let's actually. No, hold on. Jake, timeout. 30 seconds. I think this is 30 second timeout in basketball. This is a full timeout, 60 seconds. So I want a 30 second time. Actually, I think I might want full because I talk a lot. So this week's big offering. Last week, I offered up the stickers, but I feel bad because they actually sold out before the episode even got edited and released. So I'm going to have Jimmy, because she's amazing and we love her, I'm going to have her make like 3 to 5 more stickers. Those stickers come with a piece of apparel that's 25 doll hairs. You can feel free to message me directly, and I will facilitate that, get that over your direction. Basically, pay me, I ask you what your shirt size is, and then we find your address in any way we need to, and we send that stuff your way. All right. That brings us to everyone's favorite part of the show, my personal favorite part of the show, Jake running on the screen. It's memes and things. This week, we've got more thangs than we have memes, but nonetheless, it is actually a jam-packed section. So bear with me. It's going to be a long one, but it has so much juicy content that you will not want to miss it. The first piece is... What did I get first here? Oh, okay. So I was sent this last night. It was posted by Carnivore MD. That guy sucks. That guy sucks ass. Anyone who goes to like a children's hospital and is like, these kids are eating Lucky Charms and they should be eating T-Bone. Cool it, dude. The message is there. We get it. But come on, read the room, bud. Read the room. So he posted this. I had kind of seen something about it before, but I didn't really know the source material for it. So this is from Good Morning America. Which for the most part sucks, but it is a red meat is associated with a risk of developing type 2 diabetes, study shows. So Jake, you can play the clip for him.
All right, we are back now with America's favorite doctor, Dr. Jan, and there is a new study out there that's talking about how eating too much red meat is strongly associated with developing type 2 diabetes.
Correct. Keyword associated with, because this study did not show cause and effect, but really interesting. Big study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition looked at over 200,000 people, followed them for 30 years with questionnaires, and was looking for how much red meat they were eating and the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and found pretty much a direct and consistent and strong, that's their words, association between the amount of red meat, the time that red meat is eaten, and the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And we're talking about processed and unprocessed. So pork, lamb, beef, sausage, hot dogs, people are getting hamburgers. It was pretty significant.
Okay, so is this like a lot of red meat, or like, I like a steak. I really like a steak.
This girl likes a good steak.
That's right, but you told me you haven't eaten red meat for 15 years,
yeah.
Interestingly. So what they found is even less than one serving a day on average was associated with an increased risk. The more people ate, the higher that risk went. So we, you know, that's a direct association or link. This was independent of weight gain, although people who do eat a lot of red meat tend to be heavier. But the good news is, because there's always to look for the silver lining, if you ate just a half a serving a day of nuts and legumes, you could lower that risk by as much as 30%, if not more. So again, once in a while, have your steak.
We like that.
Every day.
No.
Just not
have
good.
Your steak and eat some nuts. There we go.
There you go. Okay.
That's Eva's takeaway. All right, Dr. Jen, thank you.
So this was a study out of the University of Harvard, which, you know, Harvard, pinnacle of education. And then you see some of the studies that come out of there, and it's like, man, they are missing the mark. So the pinnacle of education now is like, how many publications do you put out? And when you're putting out horrible publications like this, it doesn't really matter. So this woman actually kind of does a good job on the front end of trying not to fearmonger. And then she was like, wait, I'm here to get clicks and views and likes. What am I doing here? I got to jump into this full steam ahead. The premise of this is essentially, I mean, you just watch the clip, but you know, red meat consumption associated with type 2 diabetes. On the front of the clip, the lady says the key word is that it's associated with type 2 diabetes. This study did not show cause and effect. And that's an important part that she kind of grazes over there. So published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, 200,000 people, longitudinal study, meaning they followed them for a long period of time, 30 years with questionnaires, self-reported red meat intake, and how that correlated with the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Direct, consistent, strong association between those quartiles of the population, those subsets of the population that consume the greatest amount of red meat and have both processed and unprocessed and have type 2 diabetes. So, you know, beef, sausage, hot dogs, lamb, hamburgers, bacon, consumption of meat products like that, and how those are consumed most often or in the highest percentages by people who also have type 2 diabetes. The other lady makes a joke, I don't want to have diabetes, but I like a good steak every once in a while. Well, you won't get it because this study sucks ass. This is the same situation that happened with the WHO study. The WHO made a position stand on red meat and they lumped it in. They called it a carcinogen, same category as, you know, yada, yada, yada. Processed red meats, carcinogen. Red meats, type 2 diabetes. Oh no, look at this, you know, look at this association. No cause and effect relationship. Do you know why there's no cause and effect relationship? Because these studies, longitudinal studies following people for 30 years, this stuff's impossible to control for. But you can't control for lifestyle. You can't control for smoking. You can't control for drinking. You can't control for activity levels, resistance training, muscle mass, any of the other lifestyle stuff. So really what this study is showing is that people who consume the largest amounts of red meat are also most likely to live a sedentary lifestyle, be smokers, be drinkers, engage in other lifestyle activities that will, over time, increase your body weight, decrease your insulin sensitivity, and make you more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. Now, the red meat was never the one driving the ship, was never the one steering the ship. It was always the lifestyle stuff. But again, You simply can't run a story with that as the headline. People who consume red meat, the most red meat, also engage in some lifestyle factors that increase their likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes. What a boring, stupid headline. I'm scrolling past it. I don't care. But when I, a red-blooded American who loves me a nice ribeye steak, when I see red meat associated with risk of developing type 2 diabetes, I don't want type 2 diabetes. I don't want to get that. I know that that's a bad thing. I'm going to stop eating red meat. And now I'm completely devoid of the nutrients, completely void of the nutrients that came with the red meat. The increased B vitamins, increase in iron, super bioavailable iron, the protein intake. So again, this is how these studies go. And this is why you really need to take all of this research with a grain of salt. When you say red meat increases the likelihood of type 2 diabetes and you don't control for all that other stuff, throw it in the trash. You don't need to pay attention to stuff like this because there are a lot of people who engage in regular physical activity. They, you know, resistance train regularly. They do plenty of cardiovascular training. Their step counts are high. They're super active in their leisure time. And they eat red meat 4, 5, 6, 7 plus times per week without ever even dipping into an unhealthy fasting blood glucose range that would be indicative of type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes. I had this same conversation with someone about fruit the other day. You know, high sugar diet increases the likelihood of type 2 diabetes. It doesn't, though. Because if that was the case, people who are fruitarians, people who only eat fruit, would have the highest incidence of type 2 diabetes in the world. Their diet is almost entirely sugar, but that's not the case. Same thing here. You really, really need to take a step back and say, okay, what happens when I control for all of the lifestyle factors? What happens if someone isn't sedentary, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they lift weights regularly, and they consume a generally healthy diet that includes plenty of red meat? No type 2 diabetes to be found. Shame on you, Harvard University. Shame on you, American Medical Association Journal, whatever the heck this was published in. This is a bad study. This should not be grabbed by the media, but it will. And the crusade against red meat will continue. Not what I want to see, but, you know, it's something when I see it pop up, I'm obviously going to talk about it, continue to push forward what's actually true. The next thing in our memes and things, this is a thing that should be a meme, but people take it seriously. I don't know how to pronounce this. Jake, I think it's called Grunes. Am I right? I don't know how to say the umlaut. Is that even an umlaut U? I feel like I'm just, when Jake edits this together, he's going to make me to be a complete fool. And that's okay, because I kind of deserve it. All right. Grunes are daily gummies. Listen, if you take your vitamins as gummies, you're a fucking child. Grow up, be an adult, take your vitamins like a man, like a woman. We don't eat gummies. We're not children anymore. But this is the latest and greatest in the take your vitamins as gummies. If you don't like Athletic Greens because it tastes yucky and I don't like the yucky taste, you can waste your money on Grunes instead. 60 nutrient-dense ingredients meeting your daily nutrient needs, supporting your gut health, and promoting whole body vitality has never been so easy. You can get 28 packs, 28 days, not even a month, for $60. $60 if you subscribe. If you just want it one time, if you just want to try it, $80 is what you have to pay for a month worth of essentially green supplements. Now, I've made an entire reel about greens powders before. Jake, you can link that in the show notes. I won't reiterate what that, you know, what was mentioned in there. But the vast majority of the benefits from eating fruits and vegetables, what these greens powders, greens gummies are taking the place of, is the fact that they're packed with fiber, and the bioavailability of the micronutrients depends on the fact that they're consumed in the way that they naturally exist in nature. When you take some vegetables and you flash fry them, flash freeze them, whatever, and you pound them down and pulverize them into a powder, and then you condense that into a gummy that you just put 20 grams of sugar in so that it actually tastes good, you lose a considerable amount of the bioavailability of those micronutrients. So if that's why you're taking this, you're spending $80 for a really bad version of a multivitamin. Eat vegetables. Eat lots of colors of vegetables. You'll get lots of micronutrients, lots of fiber, which you don't get from your greens powders unless they're artificially adding in, you know, corn fiber, soluble, insoluble forms of fiber, inulin, those kind of things that sort of count as fiber on the label. That's what you get from stuff like this. And then they throw a bunch of other really weird, goofy shit in there as well. It's got mushrooms and adaptogens and this and neurofactors and this and that. This is the latest and greatest way for you to waste your money. We'll take your money. If you want to, if you're thinking, I'm going to get some greens gummies, pause. Hit the pause button, hit the stop button, hit the freeze button. Just send that money to me instead. I'll take that money in and I'll use it. You know, my hourly rate is about $150 to $200 an hour, depending on what you're doing. So send me that $80 and I will spend 30 minutes casting a voodoo spell on you that gives you all the benefits of adaptogens and mushrooms and fake vitamins and minerals. Guys, I know that I am like the broken record of all broken records here, but stop wasting your money on stuff like this. Stop wasting your money on supplements as a whole. Multivitamin, fish oil, vitamin D, creatine. Hard stop right there. Just be done after that. No greens gummies, greens powders, adaptogens and neurofactors and all this stupid stuff. Stop listening to the Huberman podcast and taking everything that he recommends. The guy has a great understanding of mechanisms, doesn't understand practical application of the things that he is recommending. I'm sure he'll have a discount code for Grunes here very soon. Good Lord, this stuff is stupid. Don't take this. Don't do it. What else is on there late? What else? I'm just trying to scroll down now that I'm done being mad. 3,300 five-star reviews. I fucking doubt it. The ingredients sucks. The convenience of everyone, oh, it's a convenient way to get my fruits and vegetables. No, it's not. It's not a convenient way for you to do that. If you don't drive, if you don't like driving to work because, you know, it scares you or whatever, walking isn't more convenient. It's slower. It's bad. It's worse in every single way if the goal is to get somewhere. So don't say it's more convenient. So don't say greens powders are more convenient because you don't like eating fruits and vegetables. You just don't know how to prepare your fruits and vegetables. Buy the Gifted Cookbook right now. There are so many good recipes in there that'll get you all the fruits and veggies that you need in your daily consumption, in your food log, whatever it is. And you're never, ever, ever, ever going to need greens, powders, gummies, or anything like this. Grunes, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. When one of two things is true. You know this stuff is garbage and you're selling it anyway, which makes you a shitty person, a shitty company. Or you think that it's actually good for people and that makes you stupid. So you're either stupid or you're a bad person. And that applies to a lot of supplement peddlers out there. They're either stupid and they think that it works and you don't want to listen to them because they're stupid, or they're pieces of shit and they're taking advantage of you and stealing your money. And that's not something you want to listen to either. So what are you, groons? Are you stupid or are you fucking unethical pieces of shit? What's it gonna be? Make your selection. All right, that's all I got on my groons gummies. What a joke. All right, moving along to something else that is also a joke. Firefly Recovery redefined. So Firefly Recovery, I saw this pop up on my Instagram ads and now I screenshot it when the Instagram algorithm eats that up. Absolutely loves that right there. So Firefly is something that you stick to your leg. Bear with me. It only gets worse from here. Firefly is something that you stick to your leg and it stimulates. What does it stimulate? I think it says it stimulates the peroneal nerve, right? Yeah, it stimulates the peroneal nerve, which is a nerve in your leg, increasing blood flow. This means more fresh blood and oxygen to reduce lactic acid and soreness, eliminating toxins and keeping your muscles flexible. Texting Jimmy real quick. When you look at that right there, and you're an exercise science person, you're exercise physiology, you're in the know, you understand words and what they mean, it's like the sirens are going off here. Stimulating the peroneal nerve, okay, why did we have to throw in that? A nerve in your leg, thanks for clarifying. Increases blood flow. Cool, blood flow is a good thing. More fresh blood. What the fuck do you mean fresh blood? What the fuck does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything. Fresh blood. Do you mean oxygenated blood? Do you mean arterial blood? I'm pretty sure your body will get that there anyway. It doesn't need something that you stick on your leg to stimulate your peroneal nerve. Oxygen. More oxygen. That's usually what comes with fresh blood. Oxygenated arterial blood. Venous blood being the opposite of that. High in CO2, low in oxygen. Wow, we're really getting deep into cardiorespiratory physiology here. Reducing lactic acid. Here is where they think that you're a moron. Reducing lactic acid and soreness. Lactic acid doesn't cause soreness. It never has caused soreness. Soreness is caused by micro tears in the muscle from eccentric muscle contractions. And no amount of blood flow is going to stop that soreness or make it go away. The micro tears are there. The body needs time to heal that. It takes time. It is a time-intensive and nutrient-intensive thing. Your body will deliver the blood that is needed to make that soreness go away, to repair what is going on at the muscular level. Eliminate toxins. Now you're just talking stupid shit. Eliminating toxins. What does that mean? You got to define that one for me. Eliminate toxins and keeping your muscles flexible. You're going to stick this thing on your leg. It's going to stimulate a nerve. The nerve is going to send more fresh blood to your legs, which is going to flush out lactic acid. You're no longer going to be sore. You're not going to have any toxins and your muscles are going to be flexible. Firefly. You guys should really partner up with Grunes because together you could take over the world. And by take over the world, I mean steal money from hardworking people for something that doesn't do anything. Not a goddamn thing. What else? What else? How it works. There's a whole how it works section. And in the how it works section, there is more about the athletes that use it. The athletes that use it. I mean, none of these athletes actually use this. It's more about the athletes who are using it and a copy and paste of the previous, you know, how to put it on, how to stick it to you. Listen. All right. There's nothing about this that's going to work. Nothing about this that's going to have any measurable effect on your recovery, on your performance whatsoever. There's 7 levels that you can set it to. I don't care. You got to stick it to your... The only effect that it's going to have is that it's going to rip my leg hair out. And I am not going to spend... How much is this thing? Firefly starter packet. $100. It's roughly the same price as your Grunes gummies. I bet that Grunes would partner up with Firefly, get a nice like double package for like $150. Nice. They have good prices on their shirts, though. Firefly shirt. $20. 124 reviews. Hold on. I don't even think that you can use this thing more than once. Because you can get a 25-pack for $1,000. I think you can use it more than once. I don't even know. Guys, this is going to pop across your Instagram ads and just laugh when it does. All these products are going to be terrible. You know, red flags should be going up when they're using all those terms that you're talking about. You know, they've got artificially inflated numbers in terms of the reviews on their website. You're telling me that the Firefly starter pack has 1,049 reviews. The portable recovery device has 1,049 reviews. The knee strap has 1,049 reviews. And the 25 pack has 1,049 reviews. The t-shirt has 124 reviews. The hoodie has 124 reviews. Why are all the numbers the exact same? Oh, I know why. Because they're not real reviews. No one's using this because it doesn't work, and they spent a bunch of money paying athletes to say that they use it when they don't. Firefly, we're on to you. Your shit don't work. You're paying people. Hope you go out of business sooner rather than later. No one will miss you. Toodaloo. Now, this next one is a spicy one. I saw it. I saw it on Fleckus Talks, the podcast, the best new podcast of all time. First. And I didn't realize that the fitness community would grab it. So the fitness community grabbed onto this, and it was the Kellogg's CEO. Kellogg's CEO, essentially, they were like, hey, how are you going to take the, you know, they had a big spike, their stock went up, blah, blah, blah. And then he was asked, you know, how are you going to keep that trend going? And he said, you know, a lot of it is about marketing. A lot of it is about messaging. And the messaging that we're putting out is that if you are strapped for cash as a U.S. consumer, cereal for dinner is a great option because it's cheaper. You know, it's not as expensive as like, you know, red meat or chicken or things like that. So the Kellogg's CEO basically said, you know, we're going to encourage people who are struggling to choose budget options for dinner. One of those could be cereal for dinner. And the fitness community, because they're dumb and because they, have never been the CEO of a company and they've never been asked questions like this before, they're like, are you fucking kidding me? Cereal for dinner. That's terrible for you. There's nothing wrong with cereal for dinner. Cereal for dinner can be a great option, right? Yeah, anyone ever had breakfast for dinner? Eggs, sausage, bacon, and cereal for dinner? When I was a kid, that was like the greatest thing ever. What are we having for dinner? Oh, we're having haddock and potatoes. Fucking disgusting. I don't want that. I don't want that at all. That ruined my day. But I said, Mom, Dad, what are we having for dinner? And they said, you know, we're going to have breakfast for dinner. We're going to have scrambled eggs. We're going to have cereal and milk. And it's going to be balanced. It's going to have a lot of protein. Good carbohydrates, and you're a growing boy, and you could use those extra calories from being able to eat some cereal for dinner. Fantastic. Love it. I like cereal. Cereal's great. Cereal for breakfast is awesome. Cereal with my lunch, fantastic. Cereal in my Greek yogurt at the end of the day, awesome. I've been having cereal in my Greek yogurt or my cottage cheese every night, probably for the last like 4 years. And every single person who posted, oh, cereal for dinner, that's unhealthy and you shouldn't eat that and you shouldn't encourage people to do that, post your physique, because my physique is better than yours. I'm better than you ever were at bodybuilding. Better than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm better at Olympic weightlifting than you, and I'm better at CrossFit. And I eat cereal every single night. Kellogg's CEO, I smell what you're stepping in. I like the idea of eating cereal for dinner, especially if it's got some Fairlife milk in it. That's plenty of protein. That's all the protein that you need right there. And on a budget, balling on a budget? Are you kidding me? But here's the thing. The same bodybuilders who are like, cereal for dinner is unhealthy. You can't have that. It doesn't have micronutrients in it. They're the same ones that are eating weird ass shit every day. Like, yeah, here's my pre-workout. It's 4 grams of sea salt and cream of rice and blueberries and honey, and I just mash it up and shove it down my gullet. You're the one who's dispensing advice about who should and shouldn't be eating cereal for dinner? Get out of here with all of that. Kellogg's, send your boy Frosted Flakes. I would take a Frosted Flakes. I don't really know. Let's find out what Kellogg's most popular cereals are. Because I'm going to start buying those as a way to support 19 most popular cereals from Kellogg's. Kellogg's makes Raisin Bran. Okay. Kellogg's makes Raisin Bran. How can you be mad at this guy? And they make Mini Wheats. And they make Cheerios. Poof. All right. Kellogg's CEO, I'm going to have cereal for dinner every night. That's actually a good idea. If anyone wants to join me on this, I'm going to undertake a fat loss diet where for 30 days straight, I eat cereal for dinner every night. If this podcast gets 100 views, I'll actually do that. I will actually hit that. Mark me. I'll do it. And Kellogg's, I'll tag you in every single one of them because I love you. Eat cereal for dinner if you want. Stop having people tell you that you can't have cereal for dinner. You absolutely can. Should you every single night? No, don't do that. But is it perfectly fine in a pinch? Can it save you some dollars? Was this guy just looking out for his stock prices and wanted to sell more money and make some more revenue and make some more profit for the shareholders? Yes. Why are you expecting this guy to be like, don't eat cereal? Yep, don't ever eat it. What are you even talking about here? All right, up next is the... This was sent to me by one of my clients, Billy. Puff Suit Trainer Man versus Many Coaches. So this is a video that's for sure like a meme. It's supposed to be like making fun of like health and feeling better and taking protein powders and supplements and all of that. And kind of the stigma around that of like, take these supplements, you'll feel good, you feel better. Put all this artificial stuff in your body, you'll feel better, you'll feel good. But this really isn't much different than most of your online coaches to begin with, right? It's, you know, Jake, just play the clip real quick.
I feel like you're in your own way.
Answer honestly. Are you in your own way?
Yes. I didn't even know I was going to say that.
Sounds like your mind's not right. So it seems like you need to get your body right.
Oh, wow.
Do you trust me?
I mean, as well as I can trust anyone, I suppose.
Hey. Okay. I need you to believe in yourself.
Okay, yeah, I believe in myself.
Isn't that better? Isn't that better? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel a lot better now? Don't you feel good? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel a lot better?
Oh my.
I feel better. Do you feel better?
So much better.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Do I look better?
You look good. Yeah.
I'm feeling better, actually.
Yeah.
Can I have a little more?
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. You must feel a lot better.
Listen.
The video is funny because, you know, he's telling the woman, you are in your own way. You're getting in your own way. You want to have the body of your dreams, right? And I have the secret. And then he starts like dumping protein powder down her mouth. And he's like, don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? Or do you feel better yet? More and more. Do you feel better? It's actually a really funny video because the lady is like actually choking on protein powder, but she's trying not to, to laugh about it or like get out of character because she's supposed to be interviewing him. But this is so comparable to every online fitness coach or a lot of your guru style fitness coaches, because it's just shoving material and shoving stuff down someone's throat, shoving it down their throat. I'm like, do you feel better? Do you feel better now, right? And it's like you're pigeonholed. You're stuck in this corner of like, yeah, sure. I feel better. It's like, oh, take your gut health supplements. You feel better, right? It's better. You're good, right? Like, get all this blood work done. Oh, don't you feel better now that you know all these things that are wrong with you? Like, you feel better, right?
People are like, ah, yes, fine. I feel better. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And then the coach just screenshots that and posts it to their story. Look, I put my client on $800 worth of gut health supplements, and they said that they feel better because I pressured them for the 14 messages above that I didn't show. I just showed the one where they're like, yeah, I feel a lot better after my protocol. So it's supposed to be a meme, but you know, the best satire is something that exemplifies the community, exemplifies real life. So I think this is just a quality video that I saw. Number one, it's a pretty funny video overall, but I think it really encapsulates a lot of the coaching and fitness industry of like forcing stuff down people's throat. And then, do you feel better? You feel better? You feel better? It's better, right? I like that video. Last but not least, finishing up memes and things with my new fitness pet, a person with entertaining talents. Again, stole that from my boy Fleckus, Austin Fletcher. He has his pets. I have my pets in the fitness industry, the fitness space. Someone sent me this guy. He has 134,000 followers and like actually gets pretty insane engagement on all of his posts. So I am of the belief that his followers are genuine. This isn't a guy who just like pumped up his account with a bunch of fake followers. And he is the, like, we remember this guy from when we first started in the gym. It's like the full tights, knee sleeves, elbow wraps, belts, dry scooping pre-workout in the locker room and yelling, loading up all the machines with all the plates. Jake, play the hack squat video for them. Beast mode activated, merch coming soon. He looks like the weird, he looks like a Hispanic version of like that weird, I don't even remember what the show is called. Now I'm just, Jake, it's a kid's show. It's got like a weird looking comb over guy who's like the villain. If you can find it and you can put it on the screen, I'll be very impressed. But, you know, this is the, look at this. Full tights. He's putting on three belts, not one over the other. Wait, where's he even going to put this one on? I haven't watched this video. This is a fantastic. Yes. Okay. So he's got the third belt on. He's got the like combat boots, two sets of knee wraps on, full spandex suit. He's got the maxed out on each side on the hack squat. He's got plates on the handles. I don't even think that he unlocked. Oh, he does unlock it, but he didn't really need to, so that he can go through 3 inches of range of motion. And the comments section are just awesome. I think you could do more if you wore a fourth belt. God protect your joints. I'm a new lifter. More belts worn is better. Jake, play the leg press video as well. This guy was like your nemesis in the gym. If you were just trying to, bench two plates for the first time, and this guy rolls along and he's got, I don't even know what it is, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 13, 14. He's got the 20 plates on each side on the leg press. He's triple belting up, double the knee sleeves, double knee wraps, still rocking that same spandex suit with the with the combat boots. This is my favorite part. I love when he whips himself in the back with his belt before you put on your third belt. And then there's just like innocent people in the background just trying to work out. And oh, he ditches the third belt. Oh, you don't need the third belt for leg press. That's right. I completely forgot. Sorry. I wasn't paying attention during exercise physiology when they went over the three belts for two versus two belts on the leg press. Quick range of motion check on the leg press. It's probably smaller than the hack squat. Less range of motion there. But is this better than not working out at all? Is El Campeon doing more than people sitting at home? Because that's the comments. Like, why are you even working out? Just stay at home. It's like, no. This is a guy who's going to the gym. He's getting some exercise by loading the plates on. He's getting some exercise by whipping himself in the back. Is he a nuisance? Is he a menace? Is he a net negative for the gym experience for everyone else as a whole? Yes, for sure. Does the world need less people like El Campeon? I don't know if I would go that far. He seems to be having fun. seems to be getting in some form of exercise. I wouldn't reach out to this guy for coaching. I wouldn't take his advice. I wouldn't emulate his training style. I think he's one wrong set of leg press away from going full flamingo on both of his knees. Flamingo on his knees, meaning that his knees bend back that way. But as a whole, I think that, you know, he's doing what he enjoys. And who am I to stop him? If I'm at the gym and I need those 45s, I'm pissed. If I'm watching from a distance, whatever. It is what it is. El Campeón, don't stop. Don't buy any of his stuff. Don't use his discount code. Don't facilitate his behavior. Don't enable him. But he ain't hurting nobody. He ain't hurting nobody. That is my pet of the week. He has some extraordinary talents. Wearing three belts. You couldn't wear... If you're watching that and you're like, what a bozo. What a bozo. Like, idiot, loading up all those plates, not even... I want to see you put three belts on. I don't think I could put three belts on. I don't think I could double knee sleeve, double knee wrap it up with the combat boots and the spandex. He's got more gall, more cojones than I could ever have going out in public like that. El Campeón. What is he the champion of? Maybe drop that in the comments. What do you think he is the champion of? That concludes Memes and Things. Like I said, we took a week off, so that section was jam-packed with quality content. If you like that style, if you like more content in that section, I personally like that more, let me know, and we will definitely do a little bit more of that moving forward, turning this into more of a clip show than just listening to me yap, because you know your boy has a strong yappetite. All right. Next up is our next section, Instagram grower, YouTube shower. I hate highlighting my own stuff on this, my own posts, but I really like this post that I made. The fitness space, full of phrases. People say stuff all the time that means literally nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It's just words that they arrange together in an order that technically makes sense. But when you actually read it and try and interpret it, it doesn't actually mean anything. So some of my favorites that I included here, I didn't put diet soda is just as bad or diet soda is worse for you than regular soda. Because when I hear people say that, it really, really kind of grinds my gears, really triggers me, if you will. But some other comments that I see from people that just don't mean anything. Putting together a program to help fix all of your imbalances and asymmetries doesn't mean anything. It's just yapping. I'll focus on building muscle and gaining strength when I get all of this body fat. Not even how the body works whatsoever, especially for beginners. It's actually a really good way for beginners to waste the first couple months of their training and set themselves up for failure long term is this mentality. I've let myself go, but insert fad diet has always worked for me in the past. Yeah, people don't just not understanding what the word worked means in the scope of a diet. Wouldn't worked mean that you didn't have to do it again and again to get results? Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the crazy one. And then last but not least, I like to get 60 to 90 minutes of active recovery at the gym on my rest days. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a rest day, I think, is for rest, not for going to the gym and working out for an hour and a half. It's good old exercise addiction, masking itself as, if I just call it active recovery, active rest, people won't call me, people won't say I'm addicted to exercise. We will, all of us will. And then the comment section got really solid. Thor SPT says, anything involving the word corrective exercise doesn't mean anything. I just want a tone. You're not a printer, so you don't want a tone. I'm a functional health coach from Steven Tran. I'm pretty sure just having good health is functional. There's no such thing as functional health. I can still target specific areas to lose fat from Michael Turner. Funny one, the old spot reduction myth. Can't forget a classic, confuse the muscles. I do this exercise to confuse the muscles. Your muscles are smarter than you'll ever be. And I know that because he said some silly shit like you're trying to confuse the muscles. I want my body to look just like hers. Impossible. You were born in your body. She was born in hers. Unless you steal her body and wear her skin, ain't gonna happen. I don't want to get too big. It's always a good one. It's when you look someone, just look them up and down. It'll never happen. Never, ever happen. Got to go back and choose your parents differently. Whenever someone says X diet always works for me, that was kind of included in there. Why do you have to keep doing it? It's a funny one from Matt Blunk. I just found a new powerlifting program or power building program. Again, the combination of powerlifting and bodybuilding, absolute strength and maximizing hypertrophy, two adaptations that to maximize them, you need very specific training, intensities, volumes, etc. A power building program is essentially just a bodybuilding program that starts with a heavy lift. It's just a bodybuilding program. It has nothing to, it's, you'll have a lot more success with a program like that on the bodybuilding side than you will on the powerlifting side, but you're kind of cutting how much you could get out of both of them by combining the two. And then JJ Crawford was confused a little bit, and I understand his confusion. He said, no, long walks on rest days are no good. I don't think long walks on rest days are no good. Definitely wouldn't say that. I just don't consider walks to be exercise. When I say 60 to 90 minutes of active recovery on your rest days, I mean going to the gym and doing like rowing intervals or doing some bodybuilding stuff or working on some skill work, things that aren't rest. I would consider walking to be part of a rest day. Certainly not advocating for spending your entire rest day on the couch and not moving once. So really good comment section there. Hopefully I'll be inspired to post some more stuff like this where we can get feedback from people in the comments and we can look at that each week. I always think your comments are fun to go over. Last week, I think we went over the comments on Anthony's post, kind of just descended into madness. These are good comments. That was bad comments. But nonetheless, it was quite fun. All right, if you are listening at this point and you're not already a member of the Gifted Team, if you're just enjoying the podcast, you're picking up what I'm putting down, you're smelling what I'm stepping in, it's not too late to make corrections in your life decisions and apply to work with a gifted coach today. So it's Q1, still Q1 of the new year. You can easily fill out an application, follow the link that is in the show notes, either myself or our admin, Jake, the homie, the man himself, will reach out, make sure that you are with the right coach and you're well on your way to your best results, your best physique, and sustaining that all the way through the year and into the new year. Pretty far away, but it'll creep up on us. Don't spend this year spinning your wheels and ending up a fat, weak piece of shit. Work with a gifted coach instead. You don't have to have any of those things. Now, cue Diet Sunkist. Man, if I could just get one sponsorship, Diet Sunkist, Diet Squirt, I would take Diet Ocean Spray. Boy, would be wealthy, wealthy. Diet Hawaiian Punch, look at this. Fashion comes and goes, but drip is forever. What does he even say? How about a nice Hawaiian Punch? I always liked Hawaiian Punch. The blue one was a little weird. The green one definitely. But the regular red was very tasty. Jake even told me that he used to mix it with ginger ale. Is that what he said when he was growing up? Ginger ale and Hawaiian Punch? Sounds pretty good to me. What flavor is Hawaiian Punch? Is it like cherry? Like fruit punch? Like berry kind of? I would say it's more cherry than anything else. But I'll leave that up to you guys. Comment. What flavor was Hawaiian Punch supposed to be? All right, now Jake put a note in here. It says, single client highlight. I would like to completely ignore that and just highlight everyone who went ahead and did 24.1 of the CrossFit Open last week from Team Squatfather and Team Tombot. Absolutely crushed it. We had Alex Cretian. Sorry, your last name's tough. Bethany Shadburn. No, just kidding. Bethany Weaver. Gabby Grafe. Tim Lancaster, John Mikowski, Anastasia Marshall, and myself. Jake, if you want to, you can find all the CrossFit Open rankings there. Everyone absolutely massacred it, crushed it, well on their way to making it to the next round, making it to quarterfinals. That would be the goal for the entire team. A clean sweep, 8 for 8, everyone making it into that top 25% and making it to quarterfinals. Some of them for the first time in their lives, some of them really trying to push the pace and end on the upper ranks of that quarterfinals, make a push to semifinals, the step before the games. What we're looking for in terms of 24.2. All right, ready? I have my workout. I'm going to actually pull it up because I texted it to like 9 people. Where's my text with Tom? There it is. All right, this is my prediction. By the time this airs, the workout's already going to be out, so it doesn't matter. I got nothing to lose. All right, from 0 to 4 minutes, 3 rounds, 10 wall balls, 10 calorie row, 8 calorie row for women. From 4 to 8 minutes, 3 rounds, 12 wall balls, 12, 10 calorie row. From 8 minutes to 12 minutes, 3 rounds, 15 wall balls, 15, 12 calorie row. From 12 to 16, 3 rounds, 20 wall balls, 20, 15 calorie row. You roll right into it. When you are done with that, you have from 16 to 22 or up until 22 if you finish early to build to a 3RM front squat. Bar must start on the ground. So that's a clean plus two front squats. That's my prediction. We're going to know about 4 hours what it actually is. If it's exactly that, I'm going to act a fool. You'll see me on next week's podcast acting an absolute fool because there's absolutely no chance that it's actually going to be that. Or anything like that. I think it'll be like that. I think it'll have wall balls. I think it'll have wall balls, and I think that it'll have rowing in it. I think it'll have a heavy lift, too. I just don't know what combination we're looking at there. What Dave is in the mood for. All right, finishing things off here with our Reddit question. Jake4776 is the question. It is from Amodioa. Got it. Amodioa started this off eating turkey sandwiches for years. Might be the title of my autobiography. Someone recently told me that deli turkey and deli meat in general is terrible for you. Kind of freaking out because I've been eating turkey sandwiches for lunch for years now. Is it really bad for you? Will I have any adverse effects? This is super, super common to see people ask this question. I've been doing X for years, decades, whatever it is. I've never noticed anything bad. New study comes out or friend reads some article, tells me that thing that I've been doing for a decade that I've never noticed any negative things about is now bad for me. I'm freaking out. I think that I need to cut it out. Now, this is it's one of those things where people tend to hyperfixate on a single thing that must be affecting their health without considering the totality of the lifestyle. It's going back to where we started. It's the red meat example again. People said red meat associated with type 2 diabetes, deli meat associated with cancer. But you're not looking at the lifestyle as a whole. So if you're eating one deli meat turkey sandwich every single day, helps you get your protein in, helps you keep you on track with your calories, and you are lean, healthy, active, zero problems with your blood work, and someone comes along and tells you, hey, those deli meat, that's bad for you. There's no, if it was bad for me, there would be outright measurable metrics that I could look at and say, this is, yeah, you're right. Like, this is bad because of those, but you don't have those. And the analogy that I thought of when I was reading through this was, you know, let's say you've had a certain model of car for 10 years. You've been driving a Toyota Corolla for, I think I used Toyota Corolla before. We're going to use Kia Forte instead. We're going to switch it up. Shout out my homies over at Kia. So let's say you've had a Kia Forte for 10 years. You've been driving that thing. It's never once broken down or given you issues. Never once. No breakdowns, no dead battery, nothing. Never had a single issue with it. Now you're pulling up to meet up with some friends and they brought some friends of theirs, some people that you've never met before. And you pull up in the Kia Forte, you're whipping it, you're bumping some, I don't know, you're bumping some Ludacris, some old school jams. You hop out and one of the people that you haven't met before and says, oh, I'm Eric. Nice to meet you. Yeah, yeah. I saw, you have a Kia Forte. Like, I've heard those cars, they're this is kind of rude, but maybe this is the conversation. Those cars aren't made very well. They tend to break down. So, obviously be careful. And you think to yourself, you're like, I've driven this thing for 10 years. Same thing as I've been eating these turkey sandwiches for 10 years. Never had any health problems. I've never had my Kia Forte break down. Here's a stranger who probably doesn't drive a Kia Forte, probably doesn't eat deli meat turkey sandwiches every day. And they're telling me that it's bad for me, or they're telling me the thing is bad in general. Hard stop, bad, no context whatsoever. They're not saying, oh, deli meat turkey is bad for you because it's full of nitrates and, nitrates in high dosages can be carcinogenic. They're not saying, oh, it's a Kia Forte. It's got, the spark plugs malfunction on that year. And there was recalls that there's no context like that. It's just like, oh, you drive a Kia Forte. Yeah. I heard that those break down. You might want to be careful. Are you going to rush over to the dealership to sell your car, to get rid of your car? Are you going to take it to the scrapyard and be like, get this thing out of here? One random person told me that it's bad, that it's going to break down. No, you're going to ignore them. You're going to keep driving your car. You're going to keep eating your deli meat sandwiches because they've never done you wrong in the past. And there's no outright sign or evidence to the contrary that it would not be good for you. So the context is huge. The context matters so much. In the example of the person who says, oh, you know, I heard those cars break down, maybe they have a friend. Maybe they know someone who drives a Kia Forte, and it broke down, but they're someone who never got their oil changed or they drove like an absolute lunatic. Well, obviously the car broke down. Same thing in the deli meat turkey sandwich. It's like, I had a friend who ate a bunch of deli meat who, you know, got super fat and, you know, had heart disease or something like that. And it's like, well, the deli meat turkey wasn't doing that. The car wasn't to blame. It was everything that went into everything around the car, everything around the sandwiches that, you know, drove the negative outcome, not the item in isolation. So be careful getting into this mentality here of letting others come in and kind of push their opinion. I just encourage people to say why. Just say, you know, someone comes to you and they say, oh, you know, deli meat turkey is bad for you. Why? Why is it bad for me? Oh, well, I read that it gives you cancer. Well, why does it give me cancer? Oh, well, it's, you know, it's got nitrates in it. Well, why are nitrates bad for me? And eventually they just want to fight you because they're like, just shut the fuck up. I'm telling you a thing and I think it's true and I don't have anything to back it up, but I think it's true and I'm going to get... People can't survive those five whys. So just ask why. Why? Why is a Kia Forte bad? Why did your friend's Kia Forte break down? Why? Just keep asking why. I encourage you to do that with almost everything in life. If someone comes to you with a crazy claim, if they can survive five whys from you, they've done their research and you might want to give it a chance. If they can't, I would ignore what they have to say outright. Or if you're overwhelmed with free time, you can do a little research on your own. But that wraps up today's episode, episode 13 in the books, lucky number 13. And I would say it was one of the best ones, one of the best ones. Friday, episode 13. May your day be filled with the best of luck. Remember, it's Big Friday. You 100% have permission to go to the gym and max out. That would be the best thing to do. But in the meantime, in between times, and as always, until we see you on the next one, stay gifted. And we love you. Adios. Pee-pee, but sometimes poo-poo. But at the same time, you wonder, why not poo-poo, but also pee-pee? Everyone is all about pee-pee poo-poo. I wonder if they don't want you to know about poo-poo pee-pee. Think about that for a second. Just pause the video. Are you a more pee-pee poo-poo? Or are you a more poo-poo pee-pee? Because when you poo-poo, usually you pee-pee. But when you pee-pee, most of the time you don't poo-poo. So if anything, I would think that pee-pee poo-poo would be wrong. That's backwards. That's how they want you to live your life. But what we see in real life with our own eyes is that it's more poo-poo pee-pee than it is pee-pee poo-poo.